Pastor Barbara. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell me, I want to know about your childhood and a few things. I have on my little note right here.
I saw what happens when you truly do call on the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
The Bible says, I called on him and he answered me. Then I saw someone off in the distance as they were moving around. There was just like this light. And as I could see them, there was like a light, like a fire on their head. And that was the pastor. What helps you to keep coming together, not going this way, is when God is the focus. So Heather, I would say that would be the best advice I can get in a marriage, because hi, everyone. Welcome to today's Purdue podcast. I'm Pastor Barbara Purdue, and I was asked to be the special guest and speaker. We have had so much fun today talking about a lot of things that you've never heard, some personal stories of my own, some fun things from Pastor Heather. Also, we want to remind you, make sure you get registered for Rejoice Women's Conference. We share even just a little bit how that started and how a move of the Holy Spirit made such a difference in our lives, in my life specifically when I was 13, that I always thought this would be a great way to have a women's conference and just let the gifts of the Holy Spirit move. And at the end, you're going to want to stick around. We're going to be praying for all of you. So again, so happy to be with Pastor Heather today. We're going to have a lot of fun, so stick around.
Hello, and welcome back to the Purdue podcast. I am Pastor Heather Purdue, and this is my lovely mother-in-law, Pastor Barbara, and we are pastors here at Charis Christian Center in Colorado Springs, if you're unfamiliar. How long have you been pastoring, Barbara?
A while.
So 20, well, the church just had the...
Our church is
about to have 25 years.
Yeah, about to have 25 years, and we had pastored 13 years before that. So what's 13 plus 25 is what we're...
We need one of our husbands.
37.
And thank you.
And as far as we might have even been in ministry before that, but as far as pastoring full-time, just time flies when you're having fun.
Yes, it does fly when you're having fun. I was just telling my cousin that, because he's going through a really hard time, and I was telling him that, you know, the seasons that are hard seem like they last forever, but they really don't. But when you are having fun, when you know you're walking in what the Lord's called you to do, the years left, they just fly by, don't they?
It does fly by.
So Pastor Barbara, tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell me, I want to know about your childhood. And a few things I have on my little note right here. I love the story about your mom when she took you to the crazy church.
Okay.
But why don't you give us a little background on how you even ended up going to this crazy church and what was going on in your life then, and maybe how you started your relationship with God.
Okay. So what's interesting, I think as we're growing up, we just assume everyone's grown up the same way.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know anything else.
Uh-huh.
And so I feel like my childhood was pretty basic. My parents always rented. My dad was a school teacher, then and a coach, and then a principal. And then eventually he continued his education, became a superintendent. So like I said, just kind of basic there. But what my husband and I talk about that we really appreciate, and I know you're the same, Heather, is one thing that was consistent. Our parents weren't perfect. Mine weren't. Our family life wasn't perfect. But one thing they did consistently, they took us to church.
Yeah.
We went to church every Sunday. And I would say it was more a traditional background.
Mm-hmm.
But that was one thing that was very consistent. Mm-hmm. And another thing I tell people, I know I always hear this, people will blame a pastor or church, you know, because it something or whatever. And I'm like, you know, they taught the stories of the Bible.
Yeah.
And that really shows God's true nature.
Yes.
When you read about Noah or Samson or David and what they could do when the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. So maybe even though it wasn't Spirit-filled churches that really preached victory, because they just didn't know.
Yeah.
We're all growing.
Mm-hmm.
But the Word is the Word.
Yes, it's powerful.
And so I received Jesus as my Savior when I was little, probably between like 5 and 8 years old. I can remember praying at Sunday school, but then I remember also thinking I needed to ask for forgiveness and ask him in my heart every day till you realize that once was enough.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was just something new. But I knew I had that peace. And my mom was awesome. My parents were awesome. Like I said, they did have some problems later in life. My mom was very awesome, and she could sew. And so Christmases were very, very simple. It was a lot of homemade gifts.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like every holiday was big because of how, you know, my mom or my grandparents would bake and cook. Mm-hmm. And it was just more how they made you feel.
Yeah, and how excited they were just to share that time with family.
Yeah. So just family was a big part of everything. And I am a middle child of five. So I had two older brothers and then a younger brother and a younger sister, but we were kind of two separate families. There was the three of us, and then as each one left, then two more came later. So I was kind of the youngest for a while, and then I was the oldest. So I kind of have a very interesting childhood.
Yeah.
I was always the boss, whether I was the youngest or the oldest. But whenever I do crazy things, I always tell my husband, it's because I'm the middle child syndrome. It's not my fault. Anyway, because I had a brother who played that middle child syndrome, you know. Oh, I'm like, oh, please. But anyway, he might be watching. Hello.
She loves you anyway. It's fine.
Yeah. So you're asking what changed when we really pursued after the Lord.
Yeah.
We did what we knew. But my parents, unfortunately, did go through a divorce. And before that, you learn a lot through your parents, the good and the bad. But before that, for a number of years, while I was young, like Ada's age.
Yeah.
She's five now. But basically all through elementary school, my mother suffered with oppression or anxiety, was even medicated for it.
Oh, gosh.
And so how all this started, as far as I think what really continued me growing, again, is watching things. Like I said, we did go to church.
Yeah.
And I did learn the stories.
Yeah.
But then my mother, she watched something on TV, some Christian TV, where she connected. And she believed God for her healing. And if you understand, I know you understand this, Heather, but to grow up with a parent who is on a medication for years, one day they're oppressed, and the next day they're a faith fanatic. It does something for you as a
That's
kid.
That's a miracle.
I saw what happens when you truly do call upon the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
The Bible says, I called on him and he answered me. David writes this over and over in the Bible.
Yes.
I saw my mom cry out to God, like, if you can do something with me. And then the next day she's flushing her medicine, you know, down the toilet. And she's like, she's one of these, what you hear, Bible thumping, faith fanatics.
Like, what happened to her?
She's like, if it's in the word, I'm believing, you know, just her and God had an appointment.
Yeah.
And so I saw this as a child. Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, shortly after that, again, my parents' marriage did dissolve. Mm-hmm. They separated and then even went through a divorce. Mm-hmm. But it was that time when I was 13 that my mother, she made this announcement to me. Like I said, it was always the traditional church where you have choirs and cantatas.
Yeah.
Those kind of churches. And anyway, so I have good memories there too. But anyway, she mentioned, she's like, okay, this Sunday we're going to such and such church. And as far as, and this was in Greeley.
Had you heard of it before?
So I had grown up in Commerce City, which is a suburb of Denver. Then we had just moved to Greeley. And shortly after that, my dad took a superintendent job. And shortly after that, moving there, they divorced. And so it was kind of interesting being in a city, now being in a smaller place. But so there were rumors about this church that people were rolling in the aisles and swinging from chandeliers. So my mom's like, you know, we're going to go to this church this Sunday. And of course, as a teenager, as a 13-year-old, I'm like, this can be awesome. I mean, I've never heard of a church before that roll in the aisles and swing from the chandeliers.
Like, what's that about?
I'm like, this is going to, you know, I was a typical 13-year-old. Let's do adventure. Sounds great to me.
Yeah.
And so this is another thing that really impacted my life. Number one, watching God heal my mother of being oppressed, depressed, and medicated. And just her life was always full of fear, just so full of fear.
Yeah.
And seeing her totally change. And so then what happened when we went to this church for the first time, I know I was with my mother, but it's like when I opened those doors, I hope I don't cry.
It's okay.
It was like just me and the Lord.
Yeah.
And I was just hit by a tidal wave of this feeling of unconditional love.
Yes.
Opening the door.
Yes.
And
anyway, it was just quite an experience. The Holy Ghost was moving at this church is what happened.
Yes.
And I remember walking in there, and I did look up, and there was no chandeliers. I was really disappointed.
Oh, man.
But another thing I saw, so that was very supernatural, walking in the door, and and not even, I know my mom had to have been by me, but it was just like my own personal experience with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And never had heard or talked about the Trinity, knew about God our Father, Jesus the Son, but it was never taught in the traditional churches I was that we also believed in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And this was a Holy Spirit movement, church and a Holy Spirit moment.
And I don't want to hold your thought. Don't lose your train of thought. But I remember you saying that at your traditional church, they kind of like scared you a little bit. Saying that, like, you know, if you were a sinner, if you did things you weren't supposed to, the ground is going to open and swallow you up. Yeah. But you said you always knew that God, you always felt like God wasn't like that.
That's correct. So there's been...
And then it was kind of confirmed when you went to this church, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And then, so there's other stories. I guess I should kind of backtrack. I'll finish telling you this story, and then I'll tell you about an encounter I had with
Jesus.
We
like stories.
I have a lot of them, and... And mine just, again, you assume everyone has this.
Yeah.
So as we went on into the sanctuary, I did notice there was no chandeliers. Yeah. That was a little bit disappointing.
As a child,
But anyway, but again, there was such a move. You could feel something different.
Mm-hmm.
It was a tangible
feeling.
Feeling. Yeah. Something happening. It was alive. Mm-hmm. And so then I saw someone off in the distance as they were moving around. There was just like this light. And as I could see them, there was like a light, like a fire on their head. And that was the pastor. And I just saw all this.
Yeah.
And then we were in a really hard place. My mother had, you know, given up her pursuit. She had went to college and everything, but gave up her pursuit to be a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah. And so, now she's single
and no job and you know, has the kids and no money.
Yeah.
And so we had been going without, you know, food or just basic necessities in life. And so it was later that day, this pastor showed up with a check. And I never heard my mother say anything. We just went.
Yeah.
And this isn't where you go, you
and
know.
And nobody knew you guys, really.
No one, I don't believe anyone knew us. I mean, we just went and then went home. And I was having all this. I don't even remember talking to my mom about it. I was just like, so amazing what happened.
Yeah.
And the music was just so beautiful. The praise and worship. It was, again, all, it was not cantatas. There's nothing wrong with choirs
just like
and cantatas.
It was spirit filled.
It was It was they were worshiping the Lord and glorifying Him.
Yeah.
So there was just all these things you felt in your soul.
Yeah.
And
it's
so amazing. When this pastor showed up with this check, you'd think I'd be like relieved. Oh, it's going to be nice to eat. But what happened to me? I just thought I knew it. I knew it. No one ever talked about it. No one ever taught me, but I knew we can hear because I would hear God talk to me. And I knew, I was just like, I knew it.
We could hear God.
Because I knew, I knew that this pastor heard from the Lord because he had to have heard from the Lord to know to do that. And I was more excited
I
knew it. I knew it because, again, no one ever taught about that.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, I think that's what's so addicting about being a child of God. And personally for me, wanting to grow in my relationship with God, it's because it's not about, you know, the spiritual gifts, given words of prophecy or knowledge or words of wisdom. Those things are great. But what is so what blesses me about flowing in those gifts is just knowing that you heard God and knowing that your relationship with Him is real. And it's just so amazing to me. I don't know why anybody would not want a relationship with God, you know?
You just really hit the hammer on the nail head.
Yeah.
That it's really about a personal relationship. Yeah. But when you're growing up, but maybe a more traditional setting or maybe you've never been into church, you aren't taught these things.
Yeah,
they don't teach
not.
These things. Mm-hmm. But when you, again, study the Word or just even hear Bible stories.
Yeah.
Okay, so God had a plan for Noah. He gave him a warning. He said a flood's coming, but this is what you need to do, Noah.
Yeah.
And he gave him, and so I'm like, okay. And it's like how much talking, because a lot of people say, well, I pray and I talk to God all the time, but do you ever just like close your mouth and listen?
Right. You got to listen. You can't do all the talking.
You can read about Noah and he just listened. The Lord gave him all these instructions, very specific.
Yeah.
And it just said, and Noah did according to all that the Lord told him. So he did a lot of listening.
Yeah.
And I believe if that can happen in the Old Testament, if you can have that kind of relationship with the Heavenly Father, where he does warn you about things, but then gives you the plan.
Yes.
And you take the time to listen. So why can't we have that kind of relationship today in the New Testament?
Yeah.
Since Jesus has come and since the gift of the Holy Spirit has come. But I think you're taught somewhere along the line, you're taught that you can't hear from God, but he made us in his image to have a relationship and fellowship with him.
And he did all that he could do to bring us into that relationship with him. Like, I grew up thinking that, and I heard somewhere, I was too young to remember if it was actually taught and all the doctrine that was attached to the type of church that I grew up in, but I just remember thinking sin separates me from God. And if I sin, I can't hear him. And that is such a lie. You know, I have heard God so many times so clearly in the middle of my mess. And thank God, you know, because he did everything he could do. And, you know, when I was talking about when you were talking about your mom being on those prescriptions, I just heard I was listening to like another minister this morning when I was working out. And he said the blood of Jesus reaches in to the innermost like heart of a believer and cleanses their conscience, and it reaches in further than any pharmacy ever can.
I love that.
And I loved that. I was like, that is so true. And there's nothing against, nothing wrong with you if you have to take medication.
That's
We're not saying there's anything wrong with you. We're just saying that there's something that can actually remove
the need for
the need for it. Yeah, it's amazing. God is so good. God is so good.
It's good. And I will just wrap up the rest of that
testimony.
I know you have a few more things to talk about.
No, we're just shooting from the hip, so it's fine.
So the story even gets more amazing. My mother, I believe, just really got ministered to at this church. So she actually believed for her marriage to be healed.
Yes.
And so 3 years later, they were remarried by the crazy pastor at this crazy church. They did remarry, like I said, 3 years later. But what I learned from my mom, which I think is so important for everyone listening today, or even just to remind myself, my mom she did not become bitter. She walked in forgiveness.
Yes, that is huge.
It's so easy to become bitter when somebody
treats you
or leaves you or, you know, you could really be bitter and hurt, but she just walked in forgiveness and, you know, believed God. And so it was an amazing testimony.
Do you remember her like actually teaching you how to walk in forgiveness, or do you think you just learned by watching?
I believe I learned more through actions, but I did see her read the Bible every day and it was all underlined. And there were times when she would say, this says this in the Bible, so I'm believing it.
Yeah.
And so I learned that it's powerful to read the Bible.
Yeah, it is.
And when something jumps out at you and the Word of God becomes alive, something specifically, that's awesome. That's a promise, and that's just really a revelation that, you know, God is working mightily on your behalf, whether it's for joy and peace or strength and healing or your finances or relationships. We can find these answers in the Bible.
Yes, we can. And another important thing that sticks out to me is that your mom took you to church. And I was just thinking, if you guys hadn't have went to church, that pastor wouldn't have seen you and he wouldn't have known to come and deliver groceries and what you needed to your house. And it reminds me when Paul says, I long to see you. You know, he's in jail or whatever. And he says, I long to see you so that I can impart something to you.
Awesome.
And it's people don't realize how powerful it is just going to church.
That's right.
Because when you go to church, people are seeing your face. And the Holy Spirit might put something on someone else's heart to minister to you, even though it's your first time coming to that church, you know. But
it's important. I really believe it's important to have that community.
Yeah.
We all need community. And
we
so I was asking my dad because, and this goes with what you just mentioned, and I know even your upbringing, I have, as far as being small, and even though my parents had problems or my mom had these difficulties when I was young, I remember, and a lot of things we do here at our church, a lot of times every time we had meals, I can remember them doing the Easter early morning rise breakfast, and like they'd make pancakes, sunrise service. And I can remember all these things this church provided for as far as a community. And so I asked my dad, because my mother actually grew up Methodist. My father had the Baptist background. And so I was asking my dad 6 months ago or so, like, I have all these really special memories, and like the flannel graph that they would use for the stories in Sunday school. And again, just these meals where we ate together and the feeling that you had with these people. And I don't even really, what's funny, I don't have a lot of memories so much about the pastor, because like you, I mentioned to you, he would always teach more that God was wrathful and hated us, and the ground would open up and swallow us. And, you know, if we didn't do things right, the lightning would strike. But the people themselves were very lovely. My dad said that. Yeah, that was the Methodist church. And so I believe we can all draw good. You know, if you want to look for the bad in everything, you'll surely find it. But I really have, for the most part, most of my memories are just people and the fellowship and the community. And no, they didn't all have it right. We're all growing. Everyone's on a different level of maturity, and I'm just glad that my parents didn't raise me to be so judgmental.
Amen. Or a critic or critical of people, or I know, and I must have been in that atmosphere, and even it even rubbed off on me before I moved here. Because I remember when I moved here and then I met Aaron and then I was around you and Pastor Lawson, I would hear you say things like, keep it positive, and you know, just like, you guys had a way of turning everything into like a positive, the positive way. And I loved that, because really that's what we're supposed to do as believers. We're supposed to be full of faith, and we're not supposed to be dwelling on all the negative and all the, the, you know, hard stuff so much, because we can do all things, right?
Amen.
We can do all things through Christ. I love that. Well, I want to mention, two things. The first thing being, I think you've told me before, when you went to this church when you were 13, that's when your life was so impacted. And that's how we started Rejoice. That's how, that was like one of the, I don't know, one of the, what's the word I'm trying to say? One of the, motivating experiences as to why we started a women's conference. Rejoice Women's Conference, which is coming up in February. And we have some great speakers at that, at this year. We have Adala Shuttlesworth on opening night, Thursday night, and then Friday morning I'm speaking, right?
And Peggy Shirley will be up first, and then you'll speaking.
And then you, Kathy, will be Friday night, and you'll be Saturday morning?
Correct. Kathy will be first Saturday morning, then I'll wrap it all up.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
You
should come to Rejoice Women's Conference. If you do not have that on your calendar, you need to put it on your calendar. You need to bring your daughters, your granddaughters, your best friends, because I believe that God has something He wants to share with you. And we just see amazing things at Rejoice. We see people get healed. We have lots of giveaways, which is nice. But really, the awesome thing is seeing lives changed, I think. And it's a blessing to me. I love Rejoice. I look forward to it every single year. What's your favorite thing about Rejoice?
Just that we allow God to move.
Yes.
We allow the Holy Spirit to move. And so, again, the worship is just impactful. It's just beautiful. We glorify God. We have a lot of the young people involved. They'll do special, our creative arts
department.
Our department will be doing some special things. I believe this year they're going to actually do a very special skit.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
But we do have lots of giveaways that are donated by some of the most amazing women who spend the whole year buying things, wrapping it. It's not just put in a bag.
No, they wrap it,
It is,
and
like,
they even smell good.
It is.
Have you smelled them?
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, and it's amazing how they pray over the the giveaways and the gifts, and how as women get them, they're like, this is what I was just needing. And so we hear those testimonies, but we have heard about people also being healed. And like you mentioned, I just know how impactful it was when I was 13 to go to a church where the gifts of the Holy Spirit moved. And we've always really promoted women 13 and up to come, but we understand that some people have five-year-olds or six-year-olds if they're mature enough to sit. And then I learned something from Kathy Duplantis. She says everyone is welcome at her women's event. And so we've done that.
Yeah.
And so it has just been a lot of fun to open it up. Everyone is welcome. Mm-hmm. But we really do promote women to bring their friends or to bring family as long as they're old enough to sit with them. There won't be any child care provided. Because all of those are our children's pastors and workers are all going to be there enjoying the conference. But everyone is welcome.
Yeah, it's awesome. And we have plenty of room, don't we?
Yes.
It's awesome. I love Rejoice. And the second thing is your book, Imparting Success to the Next Generation. I love this book. I actually read it before it was published. Before you came out with it to help you kind of just go through it. But it is such a blessing. And this is so just foundational wisdom for women, for moms who have children. And, you know, you were a working mom. Mm-hmm. And we always talk about how after you had, I think it was Aaron, how you were back at church like what? Like a day or two later.
Correct. Yeah, Aaron was born Sunday morning. We were all in church on Wednesday night.
Yeah, you're a working mom, yeah. And then when you weren't pastoring, well, I mean, pastoring's a full-time job, like 24-7, but Pastor Lawson traveled. So when he was away, you had to deal with the cattle.
I married someone who grew up in the country.
Yeah.
And his father,
you're a city girl.
And his father taught him how to work. And if anyone knows anything about an agriculture background, if you have animals and farming, animals have to be fed every day of the week, of the year.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are seasons when the harvest does have to come in, and so he's used to working all the time. And so we had that background. So he had started his own cattle business at the age of 14. So when we got married, he had some of that on a lower scale. But then we also just dove into the ministry. I'll tell you something.
Which is like full-time.
There's
ministry.
Three big things that happen in your life that you should never do all at once. And we did them all three at once.
What's that?
We got married. We began a family. We changed careers and moved.
Oh, you did all of them
once. We did all of that.
Oh, my gosh. Well, would you say there's something that you might have done strategically during that time that helped set you up for success to be a good wife, a good mom?
And so, I mean, what
just
you were
keep
saying,
your mind
we had
sane.
Children, the church, and the cattle. We had up to 3,000 cattle one time being full-time ministers.
Yeah.
Not at our own place.
Yeah.
So there, we did have a lot of moving parts. But what I like, and when we actually received really powerful counseling before we got married. We were young.
Great.
We were 19 and 20, but I think we felt like we knew a lot. But, you know, by day one and a half, we knew we didn't know much.
You're like, uh-oh.
But
I didn't know as much as I thought.
what the pastor said that really helped. And we know the opposites do attract.
Yeah.
But he said, you're going to see things differently. Like, it's just like here at the church. If you're on the right side or left side of the pulpit, we're all seeing the same thing, but it could be a different perspective.
Yeah.
But you come together and you're strong.
Yes.
And he said what helps you to keep coming together, not going this way, is when God is the focus. So, Heather, I would say that would be the best advice I can get in a marriage, because we do see things differently or have different ideas. I'm glad that I married someone who's a Christian.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that he's been better at it than me
as
far as recognizing and supporting the gifts of God in my life.
Yes.
And so, but if you keep God the focus and not your selfish desires, then you're always going to be moving this way.
Yes.
It's when you lose the focus is when things go
haywire. So basically just keeping your focus on your relationship with God and not really worrying so much about your husband's relationship with God or what he's doing over here. Because if y'all are both seeking the Lord, then
bring us together.
Yeah. And I feel like that's important too when people are looking for a spouse. Because they get so, I don't know, they just get so in the ditch about looking for Mr. Right
the time.
And it's like if you would just seek God.
It's in the book.
Yeah.
Three things you should look for when you get married.
It's in this book.
It's in the book. You need to marry someone who loves God more than you.
Yeah.
You need to marry someone with integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll let them get the book and
yeah,
and
it's
read
so
the rest.
Good. You guys, you really need to read the book. Yeah, and we actually plan to talk about a lot of things that we didn't talk about, but okay. I feel like this was still really good. I'm blessed by it. But there's one thing, we're almost out of time, but there is one thing that I want you to share a little bit on, and it's about women that have been divorced. Since your mom went through that, I know sometimes that women that have been divorced kind of feel like the black sheep of the church. You know, they go through that, and then I feel like some people just drift away from the church. Maybe it's just they think people are looking at them a certain way, or maybe it's condemnation. Maybe they're the culprit of why their marriage didn't work out. But that doesn't matter to God. God still loves them. But what would you have any advice for any women that might have been divorced?
Well, what's so awesome, we have a woman in our church right now who went through a divorce and lived in another state, and she mentioned how the church just treated her so horribly.
Oh, that's awful.
And how she loves our church because she's just treated with love.
Yeah.
The good news is maybe someone else didn't love you right, but God, yes. God will love you.
Amen.
We can always go to Him and know that His arms are always open.
Mm-hmm.
And I unfortunately did see how my mother was treated, and it was like, she was told things like, well, if you would have been the wife, she was the one left.
Yes.
And she, you know,
she didn't leave.
I'm sorry, but it's funny now. It wasn't funny then. But
I'm glad you can laugh about it now. That's
good. You know, people told her things like, well, if you would have been the wife he needed, he wouldn't have left you. You know, there's times when it is terrible. Anyway, I don't mean to laugh, but it's just like people can just be really dumb. And there's a time when we just need someone to wrap their arms around us and just support us and love us, even if you don't understand it. But there is a God whose arms are always open,
amen.
Whose grace will cover it, whose love will cover it.
Yes,
and, and even whether it was your fault or not, or both parties were at fault, there is forgiveness. And the Lord can really turn the ashes back into beauty. Sometimes we feel like our life just blew up or burnt up. And I just love seeing what my mom went through, the victory, and then even seeing people in our church now, you know, coming and having joy and feeling healed, and just say, you know, here it's different. We feel loved. My husband says this over and over. Like I said, I think he's better at me. He's the one that says, we're not the judge. You know, God's the judge. We're not here to judge people.
No.
We're here to preach the word of God. And we've seen people healed and restored in every area of a life. And this is just one of many testimonies, like I said, of this woman who was just treated so poorly with her second husband. And I don't know what she went through with the first one. I think he was a little rascal. And I don't know if things were that much better the second time around, but she just... like I said, the difference at our church, she says, is just she just feels so loved and accepted. And that's how all of us should feel.
Yes.
And know that God does love us and accept us, because we can't control other people.
No,
you know,
we can't.
We can't control other people as far as, you know, in a relationship or. And but there I don't know why some people try to take the place of God and be the judge, but it might just be a place you don't want to hang out much longer.
I know, if you're feeling like people are being judgmental, probably find somewhere else to go to church.
Might be a good idea.
Yeah, come try our church. Our church is awesome. Yeah, I love that God really does turn shame into glory. He really can take those dark moments in our life and restore them. And use them as testimonies. And God is just good like that.
I feel like we should share in case someone's watching and wants to know, where does it say something like this in the Bible?
Yeah, go right ahead.
I feel like someone's like, well, where is it in the Bible? Well, you can look up John 4, where Jesus met the woman at the well. And he told her, go get your husband. And she said, well, I don't have a husband. And he said, you said well.
Yeah.
Because you've had five husbands, and the one you're with now is not your husband. And anyway, he ministered really grace and unconditional love to her. And it was so life-changing for her that she went and told everyone in the city. And it caused a city-wide revival. If you really understand the culture and history at the time that Jesus met this woman at the well, how scorned and abused she must have been.
Yeah.
Again, just the culture at that time and how Jesus reached out, and him being a Jew, a Hebrew, talking to her, a Samaritan.
Yes.
They didn't even talk to that class of people.
Yeah, they
and
didn't.
The fact that he took the time to talk to her And, you know, she said what he would say something and she would say something about what, you know, maybe religion meant to her. And he's like, well, I'm the living waters.
Yes.
And if you taste of me, you'll never thirst
uh-huh.
again. And finally, so she got the revelation and knew that she had been really forgiven mm-hmm. and healed and cleansed. And it was so life altering for her that as she told people in this city, it caused a revival that there is someone who can heal us from that innermost part of our soul.
Yes, it's so good. And she was the first evangelist, right? She was the first one that he revealed to that he was the Messiah, mm-hmm. which is so amazing. So if you've been divorced, if you've been through something hard, you don't have to run away from God.
That's right.
God wants to take that. And she said, come see a man who told me everything come see the man mm-hmm. who told me all that I ever did.
Yes.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. God knows. He knows everything that we do, everything that happens to us, and he still loves us anyway.
That's right.
Amen. That's so good. Well, you know what? We are out of time, but Pastor Barbara is going to be back. Because we just had so much fun that we might just make her regular around here. So we want to encourage you to go to CharisChristianCenter.com. Mm-hmm. Imparting success to the next generation is also a syllabus. Mm-hmm. And I believe that we're going to put the link for that in the description below. So you can click on it and go to the website and get the whole syllabus. It's really amazing. You can get the book. It's great. And you know what? This is practical wisdom that people need today that you might not have grown up with a mom that was around or a grandmother that was around to teach you godly things, or maybe you just didn't have anybody to teach you godly things in your life, period. But you know what? We have a huge arsenal of supplies.
Resources.
Thank you. I haven't had enough coffee today. enough resources here to really help you in life. And so we just want to encourage you to go to the website and get this book. It's awesome. And I'm going to pray for them. Can I do that?
That'd be great.
Okay. Lord, we just thank you so much for all of the people watching this podcast, especially the women out there, the moms out there. Lord, we just thank you for giving them grace to be great mothers, to be great wives, and just to be great women for you, God. And we just ask that you'd bless them. We just ask that everyone under the sound of my voice right now, that they would just know how much you love them, how much you can restore their life, and just how much you are for them and not against them, Lord. And we just thank you for this time, and we bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. So until next time, we will see you soon.